Hey Fishies, welcome to another episode of Auntie Wombat's Bible Class. Remember that you drive the conversation on this show, so send me your questions. You can voicemail or text 415-504-2289. You can send me a direct message on Instagram at Wombatalim or on Twitter at @_Wombat. Or you can send me a message from the Auntie Wombat's Bible Class Facebook page. I had two questions on Instagram this week. The first one was asking me to do a show about fluid sexuality, which is not a topic we've really broached on yet. So sexuality can indeed be fluid. It will be more or less fluid depending on the person. Studies show that women tend to be more fluid than men with their sexuality, though it wasn't clear from what I was reading whether that was female at birth or female gendered, because we all know those are two different things. I don't know which of those it was. But anyone could be fluid. Anyone can be static. Somewhere in between, you may be more or less fluid. Totally a thing that can happen. Even if your sexuality isn't particularly fluid, your sexual identity might be. It can change over time as you figure yourself out, for example. There's a lot that goes into sexual identity. A lot of it isn't even necessarily clear out of the gate, so maybe you start early in life, you know, you like boys, and then figure out later you also like girls, or vice versa, or, you know, non-binary people, whatever. But you might not necessarily have a full understanding of who you're into out of the gate. You can also, as you experience more things, you get a better idea of what does and does not work for you. So your preferences can really evolve over time. Even if it's preferences within your preferred gender can evolve over time as well. Another thing to think of is as the cultural understanding of sexuality evolves, as there is more research on the subject, more vocabulary on the subject, more conversation on the subject, we can get new information that can help us define ourselves more clearly. And your needs can change over time. You know, at this point in your life, you need thing X, and then later on you need thing Y, and it's not necessarily the same thing, and that's totally normal. But even, you know, within that framework, some people just have more fluid sexuality than others. You know, you might, at one point in your life, you might prefer people of your own gender, or you might prefer people the opposite, or you can go the other way. You can, you know, flow back and forth. It doesn't even necessarily be over years, as it is for a lot of people, but it could even be within, you know, weeks, months, days, whatever time scale. It's fine. And it's less common to have a fluid sexuality than a fluid gender, but that doesn't mean it's unheard of. It totally is a thing. The second part of that question said you shouldn't bully people for trying to figure out who they are. And that's absolutely true. You should not bully people for trying to figure out who they are. But also, you should not bully people, period. I mean, that goes for anything, really. I mean, not everyone is going to know right out of the gate where they fall. They aren't necessarily going to know on sexuality. They aren't necessarily going to know on gender. There are some people who do and some people who do not. My own sexuality has evolved over time. I mean, to give you some cultural context, I grew up in quite a different world as far as, you know, cultural perception of queer people was concerned. The world I grew up during the AIDS epidemic. And during the AIDS epidemic, homosexuality was a big, you know, take what the conservative Christians are saying about it now, and that was pretty much the whole culture. On top of that, you know, all the media and cultural attention for queer people basically was focused on homosexual men, which obviously does not represent the entire queer population, but that's mostly what you heard about, mostly what you read about, mostly what you saw in media or in movies or whatever. And I remember two really big events that really started to turn the conversation into a more positive direction. And the first of those was Freddie Mercury's death in 1991. Freddie Mercury, as you may or may not know, was the lead singer for the band Queen. And no one actually knew he had AIDS until right before he died. I think he mentioned it to his bandmates just a couple of weeks before, and the rest of the world didn't find out until he died that he died of AIDS. There was a movie that came out last year, Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a biopic of Freddie Mercury's life. If you haven't seen that yet, it's quite good. I do recommend it. The second event that I remember that was really a cultural turning point, and again, this has to do with AIDS because the two really went together in a way that's kind of hard to explain. But the second one was when the movie Philadelphia came out. And that was 1993, starring Tom Hanks and Denzel Washington. And that was about a gay man with AIDS who lost his job. And that movie does a very good job of portraying kind of the cultural attitudes toward queer people as a whole. And that came at a time where people were just starting to realize that queer people were people. And again, these are still gay men that these things are talking about. But I do recommend watching both of these movies so you can get a feel for what things were like not all that long ago, 30 years ago. So growing up in that culture and being a girl-shaped person who is into boys, keep in mind, we didn't really have a lot of gender conversations either. Being a girl-shaped person who is into boys, I just assumed I was straight because I had no reason not to think so until one day when I was a teenager, I think I was 17 years old, a lesbian I knew asked me if I was also into girls. And that was when it occurred to me that I hadn't even really thought about it. So from that point on, I started considering that question, coming to the conclusion that yes, I was in fact bisexual. And, you know, through various points in my life, I have gone from, well, obviously as a teenager, and I was mostly dating men. And then for a while, I was like done with men. I just wanted to date women for a while. And then, you know, vacillated back and forth. Sometimes I'm also non-monogamous, so sometimes I dated both at the same time or whatever. But it's changed. What I want in a relationship has changed over the years, and with that, the type of people I am likely to embark on a relationship with has also changed. And it may yet evolve still as, you know, more information comes in. These days, I'm more likely to use the word pansexual than bisexual because bisexual is kind of a product of its time, but the two literally mean the same thing. There is no difference. More likely to identify as pansexual, but I'd have to plot it on a graph to really describe it completely. And I have no doubt that, you know, it could change some more. It could evolve slowly. It's always going to be somewhere between hetero and homosexual. For one thing, being non-binary, those terms are kind of meaningless. But where exactly between those poles and shift. I should also take a moment to mention that asexuality and demisexuality are also both totally valid sexual identities, and those can, in fact, take you a while to figure out. So don't bully people for not knowing what their identity is, because there has been a point in your life where you didn't know where it was either. It might have been a really long time ago, but it's okay. Let people figure themselves out. Learning your identity is a lifelong process. Second question I had today was how to stop being abusive. So one thing about abuse is abusers usually come from abusive environments themselves. And a lot of the time they don't realize that they're being abusive. So literally the first step in stopping it is realizing that's what you're doing in the first place. So if you need a sanity check on whether or not you're being abusive, go back, listen to my show from 2 weeks ago, and you know, all those signs that you're being abused, you can kind of reverse engineer those into signs you're being abusive. Things like you blame everyone but yourself for things that go wrong. You get angry very easily. Those are both two pretty good indicators. And also a reminder that abuse is not just the physical. Psychological abuse has very long-lasting effects as well. So, first step, recognize that you are the problem. It is not whatever caused you to react that way. You, in fact, are the problem. You need to, second step is to actually want to change the behavior. And the desire to change must come from yourself. Being told you need to change, that isn't going to do any good. You must actually want to change for your own reasons, whatever they are. If you have problems with drugs or alcohol, you need to work on fixing those too, because they can make your abusive behavior worse. You can't stop being abusive if you're still alcohol or drug dependent, and because those things will exacerbate whatever problems you have. The next thing is that you are going to need outside help. Therapy can help, but you really need to be willing to open up and own your own behavior. Classes or support groups may be an option for you. If you can't do any of those, see if you can find someone you trust who can help you identify your abusive behaviors. And if you happen to find yourself in the position of helping someone identify their abusive behaviors, by all means, call them out on whatever excuses they come up with, but be patient with them. This is a really, really long process. And if it's too hard for you to help, you are not obligated to. You need to take responsibility for your own action. If your outside help is telling you that your behavior is wrong, you need to listen to them and take what they say seriously. You may find yourself getting defensive. If this happens, you really need to listen. That defensiveness is kind of a little warning flag where there may be some truth to this and I don't like it. Do not shift blame for your actions to others. Your actions are yours and yours alone. Someone might do something that triggers a certain feeling, and your feelings are valid, but you have total control over what you do next. So take ownership of that. Recognize how you respond and don't blame others for your actions. Your actions are your responsibility and your responsibility only. It can help to identify your triggers, figure out what sets you off. Again, a therapist can really help you with this. So if you find that there is a certain behavior that makes you incredibly angry for whatever reason, then you can work with that. It's not necessarily fair to ask the other person to stop doing that, depending on what it is. But once you identify that that's something that can set you off, you can maybe use that as a cue to take a breather, take a break from the situation, rather than engaging in whatever abusive behavior is your first impulse. You really need to accept that not everyone is like you. You need to realize that different people have different motivations and different needs. You need to respect the autonomy of others, respect that they have different needs, different motivations. You can't make yourself the center of their experiences. Believe it or not, you are not the center of the world of everyone around you. You are only the center of your own world. And what they are doing may not have anything to do with you. So try to pull yourself out of what other people experience. Not everything is a personal attack, is what I'm getting at here. And obviously, if someone is telling you, you know, hey, you did this thing and it hurt my feelings, yes, in that case, it's about you in the sense where you did the thing. It is not about you in the sense of how they feel. if someone tells you they need something, even if you don't understand why, respect that. And if it's within your power, give them what they need. You don't have to understand it. You just have to respect it. And try not to get angry if someone behaves in a way that you're not expecting. Again, they have different needs, different motivation. They have a different past. They're a different person. And even if you know them really well, they may still at some point do something that you're not expecting them to do because you don't know them as well as they know themselves. So don't, if you do get angry when that happens, again, instead of reacting right away, take a time out, take a time away, count to 10, do some breathing exercise, whatever it takes. But if you get angry, don't immediately jump into whatever behavior it is that you historically have been doing that's abusive. And finally, you need to realize that this is a never-ending process. You always have room for self-improvement. Everyone always has room for self-improvement. And you can't let one slip up discourage you from changing at all. You need to learn from it and move on, apologize, and try to do better next time. So that's my show for today. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. I'll talk to you next week. Remember to send me your questions. You can voicemail or text at 415-504-2289. You can DM me on Instagram or Twitter, or you can send me a message on Facebook from the Auntie Wombat's Bible Class Facebook page. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there.